the thing that we want to pick up is that everything that you say about the teaching of Jesus or the teaching that Jesus expressed has to be understood in the context of one very basic principle, and that is totality. You cannot deal with it as a specific expression. You cannot deal with it as a specific. It has to fit into a totality. Just as if you are looking at a redwood tree and are looking at the leaves of the redwood tree or the roots of the redwood tree, you cannot look at leaves of a redwood tree except in the totality of the redwood tree. There is no way to isolate anything. It is a total integrated way. And the dominant key of the way is that it is total, it is absolute, and it is absorbing. Now, you and I know that everything that is healthy is total. A human being who is healthy is total. There's not a part missing in the person if they're physically total. And the same applies to the psychic aspect of man in his relationship to reality and his relationship to life. We have to be total. Now, all through time, as we have become more mental, more intelligent, and more abstract in our relating to reality, less integrated. A plant is very integrated. There is no way for a plant to isolate itself into a mental abstraction. It is physiologically integrated into its environment. And so it senses, it responds, and it lives in an integrated way. As we have traveled the road of evolution, we have become more and more alienated from that integration and more abstracted. So that right now, most of us in this country particularly are arrested at the mental stage. We are very mental and very alienated from the sensing function, from the total integrated function of life. Now, there are only two ways to attain that integration. And one is to be so primitive and so natural yet that you have not attained the mental phase. You have not begun the alienation from that integrated, intuitive, sensing response. But you're not there. There's no way you could be there. You have already begun the travel into the mental, into the alienation. That is not a bad thing. It's just a normal phase of the growth process as we have experienced it as humans. But you cannot stay there. You have to keep moving. And the only hope for you is the mastery, such mastery that you can move once again into total responsiveness, so that the total responsiveness not only includes the sensing, but also the mental comprehension of what you're sensing. But it has to be much faster than it occurs in most people. Most people want to wait until they've got a hold of it mentally. And the greatest predicament that they don't have is the security that what they have is going to assure success. And we don't really know what we mean by success, particularly in the human interaction. All we know at the present moment is that success is being totally present in a total way. Obviously, physically, you are present. Mentally, probably. Partly, only. See, and then that other faculty that is totally abandoned to sense beyond the mental. It is the new development for man. That is not present at all because of the mental inhibition. Now, in the particular part of the teaching that we're going to speak of tonight, Jesus says that identity determines the basis of relationship. Identity determines the basis of relationship. Now, that is true for physical things. Identity is salt. you identify salt is a certain thing, and that salt and its identity that determines the basis of its relationship to water. It determines the basis of its relationship to the food you put it in. You have to have salt in order to have what salt does. So it determines the basis of the relationship. Now Jesus says the same thing. He says that the basis of true relationship to God can never be through a person, through another person. It has to be direct. So the statement that he uses is, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of my Father. That is the basis of relationship. Now, what is identity there? Identity is the person who directly does something. You can't do if you don't see. So it presupposes that you see, and that the seeing and the doing are one and the same thing, because to see and not do is non-function. So seeing and doing is identity. Whatever you do determines your identity. Whatever that salt does in water determines its identity. What it does in your food determines its identity. Sand does not do the same thing as salt in water, because sand is a different identity. It has a different isness to it. And that's what we mean by identity. Whatever its characteristic is, that it's its essence, that it's its description, that is its function, that is what it does. So to be at the base of your being is to see and do the will of the Father. He also says in another portion that the basis of the only relationship that is intimate is that. There can be no truly intimate relationship without that identity. And the way he describes it there is, people say that your mother and your father, your brother and your sisters are out here. Your relatives are here. And he's very, very clever at using every concrete living situation to communicate a teaching. So in that instance, he says, who is my mother and sister and brother? Who are they? Not those that are out there at the door. Those are not my basic intimate relatives. Those who do the will of God. Who does the will of God is my sister and mother and brother. See, usually people think that's a hard saying because he rejects his family. Well, we are very, very prone to reject our families, but not for the same reason. We have nothing in common with them, we say. Or if I say to you, don't you want this? You say, no, I don't want it because I have no use for it. I have no place to put it. It has no function in my life. I cannot make it do something useful. So the issue of relationship is not family ties or blood ties. It is that which you have in common, that which you have in common as a function, that which you have in common that you do. So the basis of relationship is identity, and the identity is how you view existence, how you view purpose, how you view meaning, how you view life. That is the true basis of relationship. And that cannot be without the basic identity. You've all experienced that anyway, haven't you? That is the commonality, the comfort, the total acceptability that you find yourself in, as well as accepting the other person when you have the same basis of understanding and the same basis of action and the same basis of perception. So identity determines relationship, and there is no way to violate it. So if you are not identified correctly, or you have not attained that identity, every relationship is off. And that is what we mean by totality. The totality is involved in every aspect of the teaching. Now, to do the will of God means to have attained the clarity of the instrument to truly perceive the nature of what is demanded of us. And we know from other aspects of the teaching that what is demanded of us is total responsiveness. In any situation where we are present, we are asked to be totally in command. That means the basis of authority has been internalized, and you are totally present, and you know what to do. Sometimes I like to describe it as you then become the superior one. It's a good way to say it, because people don't like that. They don't like the idea of superior and inferior. It's uncongenial to us. But superior means one who knows the most and therefore is the most responsible in any given situation. That's what superior means. And the one who is in a state of knowledge of the will of God or in a state of love is the superior one present. So more is asked of him. This is the simplicity of totality. And you cannot have it in pieces. You're either a clear instrument and have worked hard at the deconditioning process so you can see accurately what the situation is, or we are projecting. And the other test is we do not feel comfortable with each other. If there's any situation in which a human feels uncomfortable with another human being, he is not in the superior position. And if he feels uncomfortable, that means he has not faced himself in his totality. And the totality of facing himself is not just accepting the positive. The positive is never self-conscious. The positive is always abandoned into the perception itself. The negative is the self-consciousness. And the deconditioning is having moved through the range of the shadow of the human being and actually lifted that shadow to consciousness and accepted it totally for what it is. And we talked about it when we talked about the discourse on the standards of righteousness, that everybody has a survival drive. Everybody is a killer. Everybody has an anger. Everybody reacts when something does not seem to be the way they want it to be. And everybody is the same. So the only one that could totally accept that in other people is the person who understands it perfectly because he studied it in himself and understands that element of his own shadow and does not reject it in any way. And therefore, because he has studied it, experienced it, and understands it perfectly, he sees the manifestation in another person. And it's totally acceptable there because the only reason it is manifesting is because the other person has not had the same opportunity to absorb and to understand and to be in a different place. So no one can be totally in the will of God or doing the will of God who has not lifted all of the shadow side of himself to the surface and actually incorporated it into consciousness. If a piece is functioning unconsciously in one, particularly the negative side, one feels alienated from another person, especially those that we call the enemy, especially those that we don't approve of, especially those that we think we do not understand. Isn't that a wonderful teaching? It's a wonderful teaching. See, because then you don't judge another person through their overt action, what they do on the outside. You know that that outside action, that overt action, is coming from an inside ignorance within. And so you are beholden to lift your shadow side to consciousness. We know that now because Carl Jung, the great psychologist, spent his whole lifetime trying to tell people that they had a shadow side. And that shadow side had not only to be faced, but to be totally accepted. And so don't try for perfection of an image sort, where you say to yourself, perfection means always being sweet, always being nice, always being a certain way. No, perfection is not that. Perfection is being whole. And before you can be whole in the totally rightly directed life force, libido, you have to express and experience the shadow. So to do the will of God is primarily to be whole. And that out of that wholeness, one can incorporate that energy that the shadow side expresses or robs. And then gradually, through understanding, that energy can be guided consciously and directed consciously into constructive and positive action. So that is the basis of the identity that determines relationship. And always the people who are committed to that same way, to that same basis, to that same alteration of the expression of energy, have a commonality that is different in kind from all other relationships. It is organic. It is elemental. It is basic. And it is that grouping that shall inherit the world. So that is one of the aspects that I wanted to bring up. There were two portions in the teaching where that definitely comes up. And the other thing that is very interesting in that second portion that I mentioned, who is my mother and sister and brother? Whosoever does the will of God, the same is my mother and sister and brother. Forever eliminates Jesus' own attitude that he is distinctive and unique. He has attained something which is open to anyone who is willing to do the same as he did. And therefore he claims equality for all people in that basic relationship. He claims relationship with God. But he claims that relationship because of the identity he has attained out of the decision to do the will of God. And he says that is open to you too, open to all mankind. So we are not born sons of God. We're not born sons of God. No, we attain sons of God. We attain that condition by virtue of what we do. And if you remember, the loaf of bread is the symbol of maturity. And in the wilderness, it is something that Jesus could not do. He could not turn the stones into loaves of bread. He could not. And that is because no man can do that for another man. No one can give maturity to another human being. You can share the conditions whereby maturity is attained, but you cannot do it for anyone and you cannot give it to anyone. So that wonderful symbolism of, no, I cannot turn these loaves into bread or these stones into bread, means everyone must take his own nature and so transmute it that he attains his own subjective maturity.